My name's Anna Payne. I'm 34 years old. I live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I have cystic fibrosis and stage 4 colon cancer. This doesn't have to be your story. This can just be my story. I don't want it to be anybody else's story. So I was diagnosed with colon cancer on July 21st of 2021. I found a mass in my groin in June that was the size of a dime when I found it. And within 3 weeks became the size of a walnut. In the interim, I had taken it to the doctors, to the gynecologist, because I thought like, oh, that's gotta be their territory. I got an ultrasound that didn't show any alarm bells. It basically, what ended up happening was she looked at the ultrasound, I still don't know what it is, and referred me to a general surgeon. In the meantime, between getting the ultrasound and finally getting an appointment with a general surgeon, which took a couple weeks because it was summertime and vacations. And prior to finding that mass, I had some digestive symptoms in May, and I was kind of alarmed by them and thought like, oh, I should definitely get these checked out. But I had a trip planned in May, and I thought, well, I'm not in a lot of pain or anything. It's just weird. I'll get it checked out when I get home. Unfortunately, when I got home, I found a groin mass and never really got to the point where I was getting my digestive symptoms checked out. They kind of also subsided, but then did kind of return upon when I got home from my trip. And I alerted my CF team that I was having these issues. So they recommended I do a colon cleanse. And the general surgeon that I saw after I did the cleanses asked me if I had any other symptoms. And since I thought these were all CF symptoms, I was like, no, it doesn't hurt. I don't really think so. I didn't really press the issue when he asked like if I was having any other problems. So he didn't know what it was and sent me for a CAT scan. So I alerted my CF doctor that Monday and I said, I need help. Like, I can't wait a week to get a CAT scan because that's all that was available. And he got me, you know, admitted into the ER to get the same like CAT scan that the general surgeon had ordered. So I could at least get the test sooner to try and figure out what it was. Well, I did the CAT scan and nobody really knew what it was. And my bowels were so inflamed from the colon cleanses that like, I guess it was hard to like see that there was thickening of the bowel wall via the CAT scan with all the prep and stuff I had done. It took them 4 days to finally decide to do a biopsy, which I had asked for on the second day. They did an MRI, another ultrasound before deciding to biopsy the mass. Once they biopsied it, by the time it got to that, they already had decided or knew basically that was probably some form of cancer. Because they told me in a hospital before they took me down for the biopsy that, you know, they thought it was cancer. They just didn't really know what kind, which I had to find out alone because there was nobody with me when they told me that. You know, I finally got a call like a couple of days later. My CF team was the one that like called me to come down to tell me they had been watching for the pathology report. I think a part of them, they didn't want me to hear it from some strange doctor I really met like for a day in the hospital. They wanted to probably tell me themselves, like at least I know them. And I know as soon as the doctor walked in with a box of tissues and he wouldn't tell me over the phone, he said, you have to come down, we need to make a plan. I knew then, I was like, okay, this isn't gonna go well. And that's, you know, lucky enough that, you know, he was a good advocate for me and made me made sure I had an appointment with an oncologist the next day to try and work backwards because I didn't have a colonoscopy. So when the results came back primary, you know, colon, that had meant it metastasized and had already made an adventure elsewhere. If it was already in my groin and my reproductive organs, the likelihood that it was also other places, just didn't know what places. So I had to work backwards. I had to get a PET scan. I had to get a port put in, which I didn't have because I've been healthy enough with CF to like live long enough to not need one of those. So it's very ironic that I was now at 34, you know, a year ago feeling the healthiest I had in over 10 years. Now I have to get a port. So it wasn't a pleasant experience. But if I, would I do it again in light of, you know, knowing that we're 5 to 10 times more likely to get colon cancer? Would I rather do colonoscopy? 10 out of 10. Yeah. Over finding out you have cancer. So then I had to get a colonoscopy so they could find the cancer. You don't have to get one because they're looking for cancer. You want to get one to make sure you don't have cancer. So they, you know, obviously there was a tumor in my colon. And once I got the PET scan results, this is like definitely August at this point, they discovered that it had spread to my liver pretty extensively and some lymph nodes. There was like 10, at least 10 lesions on my liver, on top of my colon, reproductive organs, my groin, and some random lymph nodes. So yeah, it that's not great news either. And then I started immunotherapy. So I thought I qualified for that. There's a test they run that tells you if you qualify or you don't qualify. Well, the first test said I did, the second test said I didn't. So it's like conflicting test results. So once I found that out, we still did another round of immunotherapy, but it didn't work. And in the time that it didn't work, it ended up, the tumor in my colon had gotten so big, it obstructed my bowels, and I grew some new tumors like near my liver. So hearing that wasn't great either. And it meant we had to move quickly to chemotherapy, which I did 3 days later, started chemotherapy. That following weekend, I had my bowel completely obstructed, and there was do not pass go, do not collect $200. And I had to be helivacked from one hospital to another to have an emergency stent put in my bowel so I could release waste from my body, which I couldn't do anymore. So that was all fun and games, just kind of like rolling with the punches, one thing after another. And then doing the next round of chemo, did 4 or 5 cycles of chemo so far. Looking to do more cycles of chemo come January. I'm having surgery coming up December 10th, and they are going to try and remove as much disease as they possibly can. I'm literally still waiting to hear what that looks like. I don't know. I know for a fact they're going to remove the primary tumor in my colon, which is a plus. They're going to remove the tumor in my groin, a hysterectomy, and I'm waiting to hear if they're going to be able to do anything for my liver or not. We wouldn't be here though if I didn't have like a really good scan in November. So like the chemo was whatever term you want to use, working, which is a plus. Some of the tumors shrank by up to 25%. But I was on a very vigorous chemo schedule. Like they basically threw the kitchen sink at me. Like any drug that they could give me, they did. So that's where we are today. Like we get surgery next week, and I'm still waiting to find out if there is anything they can do for my liver. I don't know. So I started that second treatment and it went okay. I mean, literally a nurse told me yesterday when I had to get an iron infusion before my surgery that the 3 drugs that they are giving me are like the harshest drugs that they give out. So that, I guess in some capacity was like, made me feel a little better. Cause I was like, well, I feel like I'm tolerating it pretty well. I don't really get nauseous. I can like chew gum and be okay. For the most part, I don't, really like, I don't obviously throw up or anything like that. So that's all plus. Some of the side effects that I do have are one of them makes me like super sensitive to cold. So like for a week, I can't eat or drink anything cold. It feels like you're drinking or eating glass because I accidentally tried. The other one, one of the side effects is hair loss. But when it was explained to me, it's like a very far down side effect and it doesn't usually happen to a lot of people. And you like your hair will thin, but it won't really fall out. That was a lie. I don't think it was a lie on purpose. It was not a lie on accident. And I didn't have a lot of time to process like the full side effects of chemo, because it was literally like a decision. We're like, okay, we have to start chemo because we have to save our life. Like, there's no other option. So there wasn't really a lot of time to like process, and then the bowel blockage. So like, there was just like no time to process anything. So I think when I started to lose my hair, it kind of just like hit me that I literally have no control over anything anymore. My body, my health, how I react, my body reacts to what's going on. I spent 2 years growing my hair out for it to fall out in less than 10 days. I still have some hair, so I'm not like totally, you know, totally bald, but watching it fall out was a lot harder than what I anticipated. You can talk yourself up and everything, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be fine. This is just like another thing. I've lived with CF my whole life. How much more difficult could life get? Don't ask questions you don't know the answers to. A lot more difficult. And I couldn't mentally have prepared for how I actually felt about losing my hair. And it wasn't just it's hair. Yeah, it grows back. Great. Yep, I know. When chemo's over. No one knows when that is. I'm living in uncertainty. Like, we all kind of live in uncertainty with CF, but this is like a heightened uncertainty, right? This is like the Grim Reaper is literally standing right behind me, deciding whether or not if I'm going to cross the finish line first or he is. And now we're, you know, where he used to always follow us with CF, right? Like, we're always fully aware that our lives are going to be short, that things are going to be hard, and it's not going to be a good time as it comes to end stage. We're now like both at the starting line and at the race. And there's no way to know who's going to finish first. And I think when I lost my hair, like, I already knew that, but like, it was just like, I have no control. All I can do is, as much as I can do, is treatments and go, like, breathing treatments and go to treatment. And listen to doctors and hope and cross my fingers that something works and something good happens. But this is stage four. So it can end up just being like another chronic illness that you have to manage. So then it's just like these two diseases that are like fighting it out for which one's going to like take me out first, or am I going to be able to overcome at least one of them? No one knows how long any of this is going to last. I don't know. So like, when people are like, well, your hair will grow back when chemo's over. Do you want to tell me when that is? Because the doctor can't even tell me when that is. It's like, no one knows. And luckily I don't look bad bald. So that's good. Gotten a lot of weird, you have a nice head compliments. Thanks. I think, I don't know. But it's uncertainty. Like, you live in uncertainty every day. Even worse. Like, I thought it was bad when I had CF. Like, oh, okay. But we all started Trikafta. We all started to feel great. I felt great. My PFTs were higher than they had been in years. I was healthier at, I thought, 32 than I was at 23. Here I had cancer the whole time. Had no idea. It was a whole grieving process of a life I thought I was going to get to have. And then there was a pandemic too. So like, also don't forget that. And now it's still a pandemic. So it's like pandemic 2.0. Now we have CF and cancer. You might just lock me in the house and don't ever, like, you have no social life. I have nothing left. Like, can't really feel like I have a social life because I can't afford to catch anything. You know, it's isolating. It's isolating to be 34 years old and have cancer. It's difficult to watch your friends and family get to live their lives, and you just feel like yours just passes you by, and you don't know when and if it'll restart. And if it does, what does that look like? I don't know. I worked full time. I still work full time. I work from home. So that's wonderful that that's an option. And my, you know, the job I do, I can do from home. The people I work for are like my family, and they're rallying around me to do anything they can to make this easier. I'm an elected official where I live. So I still attend those meetings. I was elected to do a job. I'm going to do that job for as long as I'm physically able to do it, but I have to Zoom in because I can't risk being in public. And like, what kind of elected official can't really be in public? I guess this kind. But that doesn't feel good. I feel like I'm letting my community down by not being able to be a public presence. I'm just like this face on a screen all the time. So I think, you know, I got a divorce in 2020. I thought I was finally going to get to live. And it wasn't working out. I thought, why? Nobody should be unhappy. So I did that too. And then, you know, now here we are. So the life, you have to grieve a life that you thought you were going to get to have. And like, it was terrifying to even think about living long, because I never thought about that for so long. Like, I didn't think I'd be here now. And now the irony of it all, I'll just leave it there. I got tested for digestive issues in 2014. And a colonoscopy was never really, it was kind of discussed, but kind of like, oh, you're so young. And like, they're doctors. So like, I just thought, oh yeah, that sounds right. Also, who wants a colonoscopy at 20 something? Nobody. Nobody wants one at 30 something, let alone, or 50 or like, nobody really wants one. But nobody wants stage 4 cancer. Nobody. You don't want it. You think it's hard living with CF. It is. And it's even harder living with CF and cancer. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. It's not fun. And it's not just the physical. Like, I've lost 20 pounds. I don't recognize myself in the mirror. Like, none of my clothes fit. I finally got that hot girl summer body everybody's talking about, but I don't, 10 out of 10 do not recommend the cancer diet, or the, you know, whatever, that's not recommended. And now I have to get a really major surgery. That's scary, and hope that they can get, some of the cancer out of my liver, and then I can get back on chemo ASAP because it was working. And again, there's still no timeline of how long I stay on it. I could stay on it forever. Like, we don't have to live this way. They shouldn't give us life-saving drugs and ignore life-threatening complications that we can prevent. If I had gotten a colonoscopy at 30 even, maybe they would have caught it at stage 2 or 3. You know, it's a slow-growing cancer. It can take 10 to 15 years to get to what stage I'm at. That's a long time. That gives us a lot of time, but not if we're not looking for it. And there's no symptoms. They're all masked by CF. All the digestive issues I've had, I now have to go back and wonder, was my body trying to tell me I had cancer? Or did I just eat something funky? I don't know the answer to that. You don't want to have to sit here and wonder that either. So I try not to, because it doesn't matter now. This is the situation and this is my story. But it doesn't have to be your story. It doesn't. I don't want it to be mine either. But I have no choice now. You still have a choice. You can advocate for yourself to get a colonoscopy. Talk to your doctor. Don't push back. But it's not their life. They're not going to do chemo. They're not going to lose their hair. They're not going to have to fight 2 diseases. You will. We put a lot of pressure on people, especially people who are going through things that are difficult, to stay positive. Stay positive. It'll be okay. And that's kind of like gaslighting them, for being honest, right? Because you're asking them to not feel and be genuine to how they're feeling and what they're going through. So yeah, sure, I can stay positive, but I also have to feel. You can't just stuff grief into a little box and like hope it doesn't manifest somewhere else. You know, so I want to urge people, regardless of what you're going through, whether it's cancer or CF or just life, like allow yourself to be vulnerable and feel. And if that makes somebody else uncomfortable, that's okay. That's on them. That's not on you. But allow yourself to feel what you're feeling, because stuffing it down just makes it worse later. So every day I try and be grateful. We all should. And I write things down and, you know, what I'm grateful for. And sometimes it's actually even though my body seems like it's a hot mess right now, it's fighting two diseases and I'm still waking up every day. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that it's strong enough to do that and capable to do that. And through this last, it's only been 4 months, I think. It's been a very long 4 months. I've had some like pretty amazing things happen. I when I first got diagnosed, I was like, wouldn't shut up about The Rock. The Rock's my hero. He's my favorite person in the whole world. And I used to watch him when I was younger, and I would be in the hospital, you know, as one does with CF. For days or a month, whatever, because home IVs weren't exactly a thing in the 90s yet. And that would be like one channel that they got in the hospital that had something I enjoyed that wasn't like, you know, Barney or whatever. And I'm 13 years old and I've been done with him for a while. But you know, Thursday Night SmackDown, WWE. Now that was to me. And I could watch that. And that would get me all hyped up. Accuse my hype back. Like I would turn into like a whole new person, just watching him on TV. So I always remembered that and how it made me feel and how, you know, he'll make me laugh and I would get like excited and clap and stuff and yelling at the TV. And you know, he's my favorite person. And when I got diagnosed in August, I remember I told anybody that listened, which was like literally anybody, that, you know, I know you want to give me medicine, but like, I just need a video. I've really earned that video from The Rock at this point that it's going to tell me I'm going to be okay and I'm going to get better. And I just kept repeating it to like anybody. And they were like, well, what do you need? And I'm like, yeah, no, I just need a video from The Rock. That's all I need. I don't need anything else. Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to need stuff later, but like, that's all I need. And a pretty good friend of mine that I literally met in May. So I'm like, super, what are the odds of that? 2-time testicular cancer survivor himself, like kind of walked into my life at a time where I was clearly going to need somebody that gets it. There's a bunch of people trying to get in touch with The Rock, but he succeeded and he wrote him a letter to his production company or something. And The Rock responded and he made me a video that I can watch whenever I want.
All right, this message goes out to a very special woman, a very strong woman. Her name is Anna Payne of Middletown, Pennsylvania. Middletown, stand up. You got Anna Payne representing with the strength, and she is coming through. Anna, I know this is a complete surprise. You are shocked right now to see me, probably in your phone. DJ here, also known as The Rock, also known as La Roca in Spanish. Also known as Uncle Handsome, should I drink too much tequila, which is often the case. Anna, I just received a beautiful letter to my office on your behalf from a very good friend of yours. And let me start off this video by saying thank you for being such a huge fan. And I thank you. I'm honored that you are my fan. I now know through this letter that you are going through the fight of your life. You have a very rare form of colon cancer, stage 4. And I know you're in it and you are fighting hard. And I wanna tell you, stay strong, keep fighting. The fight never ends. You know that. And you also know that because I was so impressed to read that and inspired to read that you are already a cystic fibrosis survivor and that you have outlived your life expectancy based on the information you're your close friend had shared with me. So you are a fighter. And like I said, the fight doesn't end. And now everybody who's going to watch this, Anna, they're going to be sending you their mana and their love and their strength and their light and their support during this time and their prayers. Thank you again, Anna, for being such a big fan. I was really moved and moved by your story. And I hear that you just watched Jungle Cruise. I also heard that you have a cardboard cutout of me inside your townhome. All right. Great choice. I hope it's a great picture. I also heard, and you're going to start laughing at this because you might know it's coming, that you went to Applebee's and you tried to convince the manager at Applebee's to let you bring home the cardboard cutout that Applebee's has behind their bar of me. Now, I don't know whether they let you take that cardboard cutout home or not. I hope they did. But if they didn't, and I got a cardboard cutout coming your way, I'm going to get your address. I'm going to send you a few things. So, Anna, stay strong. Stay strong. And I also know that the immunotherapy that you're taking, you have an 11% chance at fully responding and becoming cured with the immunotherapy. Well, Anna, you're going to be part of that 11%. And that's what we need. And I know that's what you need too. And you're going to be part of that by fighting strong. So, and keeping the faith. I love you and thank you so much for being a fan. And stay strong, Anna. And you got some gifts coming your way. And I'm sure you're gonna see a lot of support from people watching this too, coming your way too. All right, Anna, stay strong.
And the most important part of the video is that he says he loves me. There's other stuff that's important too, like, you know, you got this, but the most important part to me is that he say he loved me. And that he sent me like gifts, sent me a cardboard cutout. And the video has like 3 million views on his Instagram. And it was crazy. For like a week, so many people from all over the world were messaging me on Instagram. I didn't even reply to half of them because I was overwhelmed. I was just so overwhelmed. But it was amazing just to see so many people like wishing for me to get better. Like people lighting candles in like other parts of the world for me. Like it was crazy. It still is crazy. I still can't really wrap my head around like clearly only 3 million people, but like people, like they're from all over. They now know who I am and they're thinking about me. And some of them message me like on Instagram still. And they're like, we're still praying for you. People sent me things like, found me on Facebook and like got my address and like mailed me things, and it's crazy. And I mean, that's probably the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. I've done like a lot of really cool things and met some pretty famous people. Usually they're politicians, but they're still famous. You know, one's president right now, so he's famous. I thought that was it. I thought that was the coolest thing that was ever gonna happen to me. But now like the person that I admire most, like knows who I am. He knows like I'm a real person, and you know, maybe there is something to that, you know, immunotherapy didn't work, but that's not saying the rap video doesn't. Yeah. I wish, you know, I had known like years ago that we were so high risk and some of the things to look for, you know. Does it matter? Does it change my story any today? Obviously not. We don't, there's no Back to the Future mobile. That does not exist. But I hope that, you know, you can be more proactive than I was. You know, I had digestive symptoms. Did I take enzymes today? Oh, I forget. Maybe I didn't. We get so accustomed to just taking everything. Doesn't even register anymore. You know, so it's just like, the symptoms that I had, I chalked up to CF. So I have no family history of this. I was at no higher risk than any other person would be with CF. If I didn't have CF, I wouldn't have this at all. Well, that's what we've concluded from genetic testing that I had them do and everything else to try and figure out why. And the answer is CF. There's no other why. But, you know, anemia. Okay, I'm a female. I'm anemic once a month. So that's a symptom that like you could test for, but like gets looked over, especially if you're a female. Blood in your stool. Oh, that could be hemorrhoids. That's what I thought. That's what I was told. Oh, hemorrhoids. Oh, all right. No big deal. Doesn't happen all the time. So that makes sense, right? Like you can logically make sense of that and be like, oh, it's only happened like a couple times. Maybe I ate something, you know, that was hard to digest. Like it's hard to pass through, like whatever. No, I'm telling you, if you have blood in your stool, say something, because I didn't. Well, I did, but we brushed it off as hemorrhoids. But like, be aggressive about it, because that's the start. Like that's your body telling you that you have a problem. It might be a problem that you could get a colonoscopy and they can snip it right out and you can move on with your day, right? That's where we want to find the problem. We don't want to find it where I found it. You know, that get like bloating. That's like a common CF thing. All bloated, you know? Hard to just drink too much soda today. I don't know. Am I drinking too much water out of giant bottles and just swallowing too much air? I literally did. I eliminated soda in May and I thought like, oh, that'll fix it. And then it didn't really, like a decrease in appetite. That happens to me every summer here in Pennsylvania. I'm just not as hungry. Because hot, not hungry. So I didn't think that was anything either. I was like, it's getting hot. Of course I'm not hungry. Hot. You know, so I mean, and like I can tell you, I had all these symptoms, and like it was stage 4. I ended up with like a bunch of tumors on my liver that they didn't just appear overnight. So by the time I started getting symptoms, I don't want to say it was too late, but it was too late to do anything quick and easy to get rid of it. Now it's the fight of my life. Now I have to fight 2 diseases and hope that I come out the winner in some capacity. And like by winner, I just mean like, I don't have 2 diseases anymore. I can just have CF again, right? Like that's the goal. I just want to have CF again. How did I ever think I'd be in that position where I'd be like, oh, I just want to have CF again. What? Like, we just want to get to the point where we just have cystic fibrosis. Thank you. Said no one ever, probably. But that's the point where we're at. Like, these are the sin. Like, so the only way to know for sure is to get screened. And right now, the recommendation that the foundation has is 40. I'd be dead. I'd probably be dead next year if I didn't find this now. If not already, it was spreading so fast. I'm 34. 40 didn't do me any good. Who else isn't doing it? Who else? Who else is it not helping? They know. There's a study that was published last year that 50% of us will get polyps. That's half. Not all of them will turn into cancer, obviously. But half of us will get polyps. I wouldn't want to roll the dice on being like, well, I got polyps. Yeah, there's a chance they could be. Like, you don't want that. If you have polyps, you want to get them removed before they become cancers. It's the most treatable cancer if found early enough. And if they're not going to change their guidelines, then the change has to come from us. It has to come from us yelling and screaming and kicking and saying, no, I want to get screened. Because I know it's so hard. We have so many things to worry about. It's hard. It's hard to want to even think about adding another thing to the list. I know I didn't want to. But the choice is gets like, you don't want this. I'm telling you, I'm begging you. You don't want this. I don't want you to go through this. I don't want your family, your friends, anyone to have to watch you go through this. I can't imagine how my friends and family feel. Helpless. They just have to watch. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing anyone can do. we can pray and cross our fingers and send positive vibes and light candles and put crystals on the table or whatever you're into. We can do all those things. But at the end of the day, that's all we can do. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be your story. I know it's scary to even think about one more thing. Like, I used to hate getting that stupid glucose test. I take 20 of them over this, like a day. Like, just keep pumping me with the sugar and stabbing me with the needles over this. And the colonoscopy's quick. The prep's hard. Sure, it's not fun. But like, y'all, we've been to going to the bathroom for years, okay? So like, it ain't no thing. You're just gonna spend some extra time in there, okay? Like, it's not fun. Nah. But like, it ain't like you ate something and didn't take enzymes and paid the price later. It's kind of similar, you know? And then you go to sleep and you wake up and it's done. That's it. But your center needs to hear from you. They told me they're not going to change the guidelines until more people start advocating for colonoscopies at a younger age. So let's start. Start advocating for ourselves. Because it doesn't seem like there's any other way. We have to save our own lives. We have to be our own advocate. We have to be our own voice. You don't want this. You don't. I don't want this. But it's my story. And I don't know how it ends. But I'm hoping it ends better for you. You don't have to live with the uncertainty of CF and cancer. CF's hard enough.